You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Speaking of RMB, their chief economist and head of research, Isaiah Mhlanga, joins me now because we're going to be taking a look at the slew of economic data and macro information that's come out recently and how it affects us and what we make of all of the data suddenly all pointing in a certain direction. Good evening, Isaiah. Lovely to speak to you again. We've got quite a bit to get through. Let's start with the inflation print, I suppose. Remaining unchanged, no surprises there. Is there anything that stood out for you with that data?
Look, nothing really that stood out from our perspective. We were expecting a slightly lower number at 5.1%. It came out at 5.2%. The 10 basis points decimal digits really isn't the bigger story. The bigger story is inflation is stagnant at 5.2%. If you look at core inflation, which excludes the high volatile food and non-alcoholic beverage and fuel, also, you know, stable at 4.6%. Still, quite far from the midpoint of 4.5% if you're looking at headline, but core is much more closer. If you look then at some of the components which drove or contributed to some of the downside movements, clothing and footwear has moderated to 2% year on year, offset or at least reversed by transport, which went up to 6.3% from 5.7%. So some of the internal movements within the different components, they have offset each other. All it says is inflation is slow to coming closer to the midpoint. The SARB is unlikely to change, at least in terms of its tone. We're going to see later cuts in interest rates. Our estimation is in November for just 25 basis points, a reduction. But the improvements in the currency that we see in bond yields on the back of political developments might change that, because it actually can change the risks to inflation to lower than where we are currently, where they are balanced.
Absolutely. And this is something you and I have spoken about before, Isaiah, is to say if we have rate cuts too soon, that could weaken the currency, forcing the central bank to then implement rate hikes. Now that we're seeing this and coupled with this, the currency side of it, one of the other banking peers, APSA, has revised their forecast on the Rand down to 17.50 by the end of the year. How are you seeing the Rand, and are you seeing that as a potential, as you rightly mentioned now, a potential catalyst to our monetary policy following the European direction and possibly cutting in a different cycle to what the US cycle has been? I mean, we've had that debate about whether or not we follow the US cycle or not and all of those conversations, but are we seeing that the current Rand strength, given that it is domestically focused, could be something that the central bank sees differently? And what is your forecast on the Rand?
Look, indeed, there are a couple of factors that matter for the currency. One is the U.S. Fed cutting cycle or rate cycle. We have to see the Fed cutting interest rates, which helps commodity prices and emerging market assets in general. And as far as that is concerned, it's a wait and see. But over a 12 to 18-month period, there is general consensus that we will see the Fed that starts to cut rates. Even 6 to 12-month period, there is a consensus that the Fed will start to cut rates. So that factor is a tick. And then there has to be an improvement domestically in terms of macroeconomic fundamentals. If you think about the outcomes of these elections, they point to a general improvement as far as the policy reform is concerned. The DA and the ANC are aligned generally in terms of the private sector participation in energy and logistics. There is already a private sector government collaboration on safety and security. All of that, if we just look at the makeup of the government of national unity, suggests that we are likely to see a continuation, if not better improvement. So second factor, check. And then the ultimate impact of these on currency is for appreciation. We had a scenario that says if we see a reform-oriented government being formed, we are likely to see the rand between 1690 to 1790. Already we have fallen below 18 at some point, and we expect once we have a view of the cabinet, if the KZN cabinet is anything to go by. We have finance and public works and infrastructure going to the DA, which means there is appetite to give some of the critical departments to opposition to run. If we see that at a national level, I think it's going to even build more confidence that we are going to see better fiscal management, which reduces the risk premium on currency and also the cost of debt, which filters through into monetary policy, given that the SARB now explicitly take into account where our fiscal policy is from a risk premium perspective and also debt to GDP ratio. All of those things just say stars seems to be aligned for an improvement in the currency, in the cost of debt for the state, which should help to ease the risks on monetary policy and gearing that for potentially earlier cuts and potentially deeper cuts. But there's a different conversation as far as the inflation target band is concerned that is different from this process that we have to also think about.
I almost want to think that at the moment markets are seemingly forgetting or trying to put the inflation conversation to the back of their minds, both locally and internationally, because JP Morgan as well has come out to upgrade South African assets from underweight to not neutral but overweight, saying that we could potentially see a lot of inflows from offshore, and we've seen that in traded volumes that I just spoke about with David Shapiro as well. And are you sharing the sentiments of JP Morgan at the moment to say that we can now officially move to being overweight SA assets, SA stocks, and we're going to see an inflow of foreign direct investment because we actually have a perfect cocktail brewing here?
Indeed, even before elections, we have been trying to present a bullish case for South Africa from a reform perspective, from the sense that a lot of these big reforms that are taking place, we thought they were irreversible, irrespective of which government was going to come through, because there are economic and political, convergency in terms of the, interest to make sure that these reforms come through. So we thought at the time that it didn't matter which political party or which form of government was going to come through. You need reforms in energy. You need reforms in transport and logistics. You need better safety and security and also the protection of public infrastructure. All of those things, whichever government was going to come, was going to face the same problems. So it would help to actually continue with them. And on the basis of that, we thought that was a bullish case for South Africa. And that bullish case should help to improve confidence. It should help to actually re-attract investments back into the country. And then if you look from a valuation perspective, equities has been dead cheap in SA relative to other emerging markets, which then says once the political environment has changed, it should offer, ample room or at least an opportunity for foreign investors to come back into the market.
Isaiah, do you think there's been an overreaction of foreign investors or of market movements from the SA story? Or, as you rightly mentioned, you've been sort of pushing this or analyzing this for a long time to say that this is going to happen. And this kind of rally that we're getting, this is only just the beginning of potentially a very good couple of weeks, months, or even second half of the year for us.
Look, I don't think it's an overreaction as such, because the foreign investors, they look across emerging markets. So we are just one of the other emerging markets which contribute less than half a percentage point to global growth. So we are not a big market, from a growth perspective. There are other bigger markets, from an emerging market perspective. So they have a view of the different reforms and how aggressive other countries are doing it. And relative to our pace, which have been rather slow, given the political dynamics, before in the last administration. So to a point, economic growth has been, 1 to 1.5% on average over the last, a couple of years, which means as a proxy for returns, we have been a low return economy if we compare to other economies. So they had a case, but I think investments are made precisely when everybody else is thinking there is no growth, as long as you can pick up the trends that are going to underpin it, which I think the reforms that are taking place, some of which are biggest potentially in the last 30 years. If you think about reforms in energy, a decade ago, we were not talking about the private sector generating energy. It wasn't a discussion. The fact that those have been pushed through, even taking into account the political environment, would have suggested to us that there is a lot of political willingness to actually do the right things as far as reforms are concerned.
So certainly the perfect cocktail, the perfect storm is upon us, and it's to make the most of it. But this is something that Zaya and his team have been talking about for months. It's finally time for people to listen. We'll leave it at that. Thanks so much for those insights. Zaya Mhlanga, Chief Economist and Head of Research at Rand Merchant Bank, joining me to reflect on some of the economic data points that came out today, as well as what they mean for the market.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.